you, Jesus. Jesus, we honor you. We welcome you. We ask now that you would speak to us. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. God, that you would change us today. Make us more like you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I don't know about you, but I find it absolutely mesmerizing that God came to be with us in the form of a man. God, infinite, almighty, became a babe, Emmanuel, God with us. And I find that not just mesmerizing, but hugely challenging, because we get to see what God did when he was a man. We get to see how God acted when he was a man. And the way that he acted was just something else. You know, you might think that God in the flesh, God as a man, would be constantly praying or constantly at the synagogue. After all, that's probably where you'd expect God to be, right? You know, praying and in the synagogue. But no. He parted too, and he ate, and he hung around with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. I find that massively challenging. I also find it wonderful to think that God, the Son, Jesus, was 100% kingdom 100% of the time. And so when he parted and when he hung around with tax collectors and sinners, you know, oftentimes we would try and segregate things into the secular and the spiritual, but I don't think that was the case with Jesus at all. I think he saw everything as spiritual, everything as kingdom, everything as mission, everything as ultimately relationship. And what also challenges me about the humanity of Christ is God's covenantal love towards us in relationship. And I want to talk about relationships today. And I want to talk about God as the source of relationship and God being in the right in the center for relationship. So, you know, God is love. You know, we know that, don't we? I'm just having to get this thing to work. One sec. So, God is a triune being. He is love. And this picture, the perichoresis, which I've talked about a little bit before, some of you will know, is described as a circle dance. And it's a great picture of the interaction between the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a dance. And anybody that understands love understands that love has to have a subject to love. Love without being other-focused is not love at all, is it? I mean, you could have all the love in the world inside your heart, but if you've got nothing to love, nobody to love, it becomes meaningless. And so what I believe God's design is for relationship is to model this with us. So next slide, please, Joel. The Father, you see, he glorifies the Holy Spirit, who glorifies the Son, who glorifies the Father. But the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son. But the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in the Son. And the Son is God, and the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. That's what that picture is telling us up there. And it's all encompassed within this dance. And this dance is a dance of love. And I believe God's design for relationship is to bring us all into that dance. Hallelujah. Jesus put it like this. In John 17, verse 8, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus prays that just as he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one, that we in the same way would also be one with him, or with them, if you like. Still, you know, the Godhead is one of these things that I don't think we'll ever fully understand until we're there. Them, him, you get what I'm talking about, don't you? We're talking about the triune God. So the glory that he's talking about is the radiance of this love. And within this perichoresis, there's always room for another. That's what I like about a circle, that you can always expand it and it's still a circle. There's always room for another. There's always room for more within a circle. It's not a triangle. It's not a hierarchy. It's an inclusive, wonderful love that wants to embrace and make us part of that. And I believe that human relationships flourish when we are brought together into the love of God. Can I have the next slide, please? Within each of us, there is a God-shaped hole or a void. I believe it's there by God's design. There is something that he wants to fill within each of us. And if we're not getting that filled with him, then we're going to start looking to other things to try and fill what he has designed himself to be the only one capable of filling. So relationship is supposed to work like this, that we receive from the Godhead as the primary source into that God-shaped hole. You might call it our soul, if you like. And that is where we get our sense of love, of worth, acceptance, significance, purpose, and security. And out of that flow from him, we then spread out to each other. That we horizontally replicate the vertical flow of God's love. I like to picture it like this. If you imagine Niagara Falls, and you imagine that you're a pebble right at the bottom of it, and the water comes cascading down onto you and overflows and overwhelms you, and it hits you and then splashes out to other things. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit may give you another picture that's equally as wonderful, but that's how I like to see it. That cascading torrent of all-consuming, never-failing, devil-destroying love comes upon us and then splashes out to others. And that's how we pass on the life and the love of God that he invests in us to other people. Amen. So, I believe that that's the way that God wants to show his love to all creation. That, if you like, we become like a prism through which God's love becomes manifest to the world. And I think it's really telling that the Bible talks about the world knowing him because we love each other. Not only is that a challenge, I think that's quite, it seems impossible, and it is without receiving that vertical flow. How can we genuinely love each other the way that we're meant to if we're not receiving first from the one who is love? And the problem that we see in relationships is when that vertical flow becomes fragmented or broken, we then begin to leech off each other and look to other things to become that primary source. My first point in this sermon is this. if God is not our source, he is not our God. If God is not our source, then he is not our God. You know, what is idolatry? Idolatry is putting something in the place of God and looking to it for your life. That's idolatry. And idolatry at its very core is actually a failure of worship. We were all designed to worship. We're all worshiping beings. And we worship constantly. How do we worship? With our time, with our attention, with our focus, with our passion, with our energy. Whatever we invest those things into, most of all, becomes God in our life. And I think it's actually quite easy to tell who's worshiping Jesus and who isn't. Is Jesus their passion? Is Jesus their focus? Is Jesus the one that they go to for their life? Is Jesus the one that they cling to in adversity? Or do they go to other sources, other comforts, for that sense of security, for that sense of purpose, for that sense of identity, of significance, of self-worth? Because there are a million idols out there, but none of them will satisfy, ever. Life is only found in God alone. God is life. So this is how idolatry might manifest in your life. Have the next slide, please. The one after that, thanks. No, actually, sorry, the one before. When we're not getting that flow from God and that overflow doesn't happen towards one another, this is when we start to leech off each other and off stuff. Okay, so it might be fame, it might be status, it might be a sense of control or power. Something that you cling to in the place of God to try and meet the needs of that God void that only God can meet. And we become like a black hole. So if we're not getting that hunger and desire from God, that longing which is in all of our souls met by God, then we become like a black hole. Who can I leech off, or what can I leech off to get that sense of life? And the problem happens when we get two people in the same room who are black holes, and they're trying to fight and control these finite resources that are going to meet their needs. So, for example, if I'm convinced in my heart that I'm the best looking guy in this room, and I don't see any reason to disbelieve that, but you come along and you think that you're the best looking person in the room, then immediately we've got a situation where we're going to start competing for who's actually the best looking guy in the room. And so we begin to try and draw that need for affirmation of being the best from others, from other things, in order to try and meet that need of identity within our hearts. It's the same way you see manipulation and control. You know, somebody who's not received the comfort and the consolation of the Holy Spirit and has come to peace in their heart about who they are will try to manipulate and control in order to get that sense of significance and worth. And the core issue of every human heart is this. We're all designed to have those things met by God, but are we getting them met by God? So what does idolatry do to our relationships? Well, if you look in Genesis 3:16, can I have the next slide please, Joel? We see the first example of a broken relationship. This is how it goes wrong. So Adam and Eve have just ate from the tree. God comes and speaks to them. And he says this, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Now in the Hebrew, this passage is in the descriptive rather than the prescriptive tone. So, in other words, God is saying what the consequences would be rather than imposing those consequences. And the word for desire is a word called teshuka, and it means a desire, a longing, a craving, and it is from the root word shuk, which means to overflow. And some commentators say that it's like a desire and a longing to control a man through the use of manipulation and control. So in this, I believe God is saying that the consequences for a woman will be her desire to want to control because that relationship is broken. But for the man, the word mashal means to rule, reign, and have dominion through the use of power, authority, dictatorship, and at times, tyranny. It's talking about power through strength, bigness, that kind of stuff. And so I believe God was saying that the consequences of that broken vertical relationship are the ladies, you're going to want to try and control relationships, and men, you're going to try and subdue relationships. This is not the model for godly marriage, by the way, okay? God never designed this to be the model for godly marriage, that women would want to connive and control and manipulate, and men would want to subdue and reign. No, I think the model for godly relationships is modeled within the Godhead itself, the mutuality of submission, of respect, of sharing, of love, of self-emptying and self-giving. This is, I believe, the model for relationship. But it gets distorted into what becomes a perverse power struggle when God is not as the source. Now, I'm sure this doesn't apply to any godly ladies here or any godly men in the congregation at all. Perhaps except for me, because I know I've done it at times where I've been a tyrant. In fact, yesterday was probably, it's a nightmare day. Absolute nightmare. Joe was kicking off like nobody's business. And really, I just wanted to press the nuke button, go to DEFCON 1 and blast the whole house. And then later, kind of just do a rewind and have everybody resurrected. I really did. I was just totally lost it with him. And so I know what it's like to have the power and the strength as a man to be able to subdue and dominate. I know what that's like. I know how it feels to have that power rising up as an evil force on the inside. But I also know that's not God's way. And that's not God's best. And, you know, without disparaging Liz, I know what it's like to be manipulated. I know what it's like to have a carrot dangled and me chasing it in terms of manipulation. Ladies, you know, I'm not being crude now, but you have the power of sex. And oftentimes, I've seen it within relationship used as a carrot to control your men. And that should not be the case. You know, if you do the decorating, then maybe you'll get some. If you put the bins out, then maybe, you know, that kind of thing. That's not God's best for relationship at all. And yet, you know, it's a very real temptation, isn't it? Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. When we're not getting our needs met from God, then we will try to find an avenue to get those needs met elsewhere. That's the truth. But I believe, as I said, God's plan was to pour his life and love into each of us so that we would then mutually submit to one another, be mutually respectful, mutually support, uphold, admonish, encourage, not lording over or trying to get into a sick power struggle. So I believe this, my second point, that God's best in relationship is mutuality. The mutuality that we see within the Godhead is what I believe God wants to see replicated here on earth, within marriage particularly, but also within community. And the best thing that we can do for all of our relationships is to invest deeply in our relationship with God. You know, Liz knows when I've been with God. I'm just nice. And Liz knows when I've not been with God, because I'm not. You know, come on, husbands and wives, you know the same thing. You know what I'm talking about here. My kids know when I've been with God and when I've not. And, you know, with the deepest respect and humility, you know, I stand before you as an imperfect man trying to receive from the Lord and encouraging you to do the same. And, you know, we can get all super religious about what is spiritual, what is secular in life. You know, I want to encourage you, everything is spiritual. We can be listening to the Lord in absolutely everything and be keenly aware of his presence in absolutely everything. That's the key to Jesus' ministry, I believe, that he was constantly receiving in his vertical relationship with the Father and overflowing to everybody that he came in contact with, whether they were Pharisee or Sadducee or tax collector or sinner or prostitute. So I want to encourage that. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, how many of us really ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up every day? You know, if you don't, let's start. Let's start our days right. Let's ask the Lord for that infilling. Father, would you fill me to overflowing so that I may overflow with your love to others? Can we have that as our prayer this coming week? Can we let God's love be a waterfall to us? So I want to pray this prayer for us today. Father, your word says, in fact, Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray for us today that we'll be so rooted and grounded in our relationship with you, in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, in your goodness, in your kindness, that we would have you as our only true source, that we would overflow to one another in grace, that we would escape the bondage of chasing after foolish idols and have our eyes opened to how foolish those idols are. That they cannot satisfy and ultimately they distract. So Father, would you give us that grace? And would you set us free from idolatry? And help us to return to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to pray for you now, if you'd like prayer. If you would like to have your heart reset, if you'd like to come back under the authority of Jesus as God in your life, I'd love to pray for you. I really would. And I want to pray for your relationships, that God would just fill them and overflow through them and bring you into that circle dance. So can we have the worship team back? And as they're playing, if you'd like prayer, please come up.